You're listening to The Watchers, a show where two women from opposite ends of New Jersey watch TV about New Jersey. We are on season one, episode 7 of Yellow Jackets. And I'm Jody.
I'm Andrea.
We did it. We got through it.
It's called No Compass.
Yes.
How do you say that word?
Compass. I don't know how that sounds. Oh, well, you have that, like, compass.
Yeah, and I said it, and then I was like, is that how I say that word?
Yeah.
Roll I say compass. Compass.
Yeah.
I think I say compass. Why do I – do people say that?
Because it's South Jersey.
Do we say that down here?
There's definitely a – yeah. Yeah.
Do listeners know about the missing prepositions? Do you know about the missing prepositions down here? It's a Philly, South Jersey thing. If you've – now I don't even know how to lead into this. Like, if I have finished – I'm going to do it with all of my tasks for the day.
Uh-huh.
I will say I'm done work.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I almost said if I finished all my tasks for the day, if I'm done – drinking my coffee, I will say I'm done my coffee. I will not say with my coffee.
Oh, interesting.
And it is so ingrained, and it's something that I, like, somebody pointed out, I think, on TikTok, and I, it's not one that I notice unless I have to think about it the way that I do notice other things. Like, I hear myself say water. Like, I can hear that. But the done work one feels, I'm like, I still think everybody says that, but apparently they don't.
No, we don't.
But, like, you would say I'm done with my coffee?
Yeah.
Like, that feels crazy. I'm done my coffee.
No. I think if I heard somebody say that, I would maybe think that it was a Philly thing, which would make sense. I will say, the longer we do this podcast, I think the more my Jersey accent is coming back because I keep catching it when I'm teaching.
You're so welcome.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. I had, like, gotten rid of it for so long. I never had it that strong. My mom has it.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah. I notice it more now when we talk.
I don't think I have, compared to other people in South Jersey and Philly, I might sound, I can see in your face that you're disagreeing, but it's because I'm the only person you talk to from down here. But next to anybody else,
every time
it's not
you say
strong.
Down, I'm like, okay, Andrea.
I thought you were going to say talk.
Talk is the one that I mess up all the time, or not mess up. I say a certain way all the time, so I don't even hear it if other people do it.
It is funny. Jersey has a Jersey accent that spans north to south, and then also you guys have some stuff that's your thing, and we have some stuff that down.
It's the New York versus down.
Down.
It's like, it's a southern thing.
Does that sound southern to you?
It sounds southern.
Jody!
It's like a little bit of a drawl. Like, you guys have a drawl.
You have a drawl.
No, I don't.
Southern. That's rude to me and our southern listeners.
I mean, I'm not wrong, though.
I can't believe you just said I was southern. Well, I have a southern New Jersey accent, certainly.
I know. Yeah. So how are we going to do this episode? Are we going to split it in half?
I think we do 96, 2021. I don't think we split up the characters in 2021 because the only one we can do that with really is Misty. But
yeah, they're all kind of together for this. Okay. So Ty has taken them for a mission.
Mm-hmm.
There's no food.
Yeah.
The cold is coming, Andrea.
Yeah. And not just like regular cold. We're talking dying feels like falling asleep cold.
Mm-hmm. A little foreshadowing there.
A little bit.
Yeah. We're so close to that episode.
I know. These last three. Well, I remember the conversation. Well, I remember us talking about the conversation of the last three episodes of Yellow Jackets. At the time being, like, talked about as this really crazy run of intenseness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here it comes.
Yeah, exactly. Laura Lee's looking to Lottie.
Mm-hmm.
And Lottie's like, I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah,
she's just like, shit feels weird and bad, and I can't tell you anything else than that.
It's kind of cool to see this subtle, because we think of Lottie as this, especially knowing who she becomes in adulthood, this, like, sort of cult leader who really kind of leans into, but we see that's not the case, and it's kind of nice to be reminded of, like, oh, right, Lottie is just a kid who they kind of put into this position.
They absolutely put her in this position. Mm-hmm. Like, they all start looking to her because she's having these visions, you know? They have an argument about them not taking the rifle. There's all this stuff about, like, what she should take with her.
This is the who are you, Edmund Hillary? Who? joke.
Mm-hmm. Edmund fucking Hillary.
He's one of the first people to reach the top of Everest.
Yes. I had to look that up.
Yeah, so did I.
I couldn't remember. There's also a shot leading into part of this conversation of just like this giant tree. We keep getting these like comparisons of Ty to big trees or Ty in big trees. So Ty is like somebody I remember said like that she looked like a tree when they were high or something later on. I think it was maybe during Doom Coming.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. We keep having Ty associated with trees.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe interesting. We'll see. Lottie pulls out the bone.
Which gets passed around into season two, because I remember at one point, I think during Shauna's birth scene, I think somebody tucks it into Shauna's hand, and we questioned at the time where that came from in the first place. It's here. And
you're so right.
Lottie's looking for it, like she knows it's going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, and she says it didn't burn at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously now, when we know what happens later in this episode, and we know that Ty has that while she's in the tree. And I'd forgotten that. Actually, we'll get to that in a minute, but I'd forgotten that Ty not only is holding the flare gun while she's up the tree, but she also is holding the bone.
She's got the bone and the flare gun.
She took it from Van.
Yep. Which is like, about. It's not just that Ty has, like, not on purpose, but abandoned her station. She's also taken the protection with her, which is like.
And it was around Van's neck. Like, she had to purposely, like, take that off of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it is. Yeah, that scene said a lot more this watch through than it did the first time.
Agreed. Yeah. We get our important haircut.
I know. I was very excited to see that.
After watching all those movies with the like Legend of Billie Jean, and you know, so many have important haircuts.
There, so many of them. I mean, just go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Empire Records. They're all over the movies we watched during that break.
Yeah, and it's very much like a symbolic, you know, shit's getting serious moment. You know, abandoning the old ways and moving forward in some new, darker but maybe more powerful way.
Mm-hmm. Van thinks it's hot.
Yeah,
we get such. This moment with Van.
I know.
It is so much easier to watch all of this knowing she lives and makes it to 2021.
Absolutely. Yeah, because she talks about she's only been to the city once. She wanted to get a pretzel and take a carriage ride.
She wanted a soft pretzel and a carriage ride, yep.
Which is such a bridge and tunnel thing to say.
I kind of thought that. I was like, I was kind of surprised that North Jersey wouldn't be too cool for that.
Well, okay, so we were too cool for that. Uh-huh. But they're not necessarily Bergen County kids, as we have discussed. Bergen County kids were sneaking into the city in high school, a la Cali.
Right.
Going to clubs and shit like that. That's like what we were doing in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I was not going on carriage rides and buying pretzels. I was when I was little.
I was just going to say, she's like kind of like harkening back or like holding on to a kind of younger innocence.
Yeah, like when I was a little kid and I went into the city, we would go to a museum and get a pretzel and like do the cultural things.
Right.
Mostly in my family it was museums, but you know, Museum of Natural History, the Met, that kind of thing. But she got taken to see Cats. I did go see Phantom of the Opera. It's the only Broadway musical I've ever seen, which is ridiculous, but
that's funny.
I saw Phantom.
I don't think I've ever seen a Broadway show. I've seen stuff in Philly, but I don't think I've ever seen any like legitimate shows on Broadway.
I don't like sitting still for that long.
I really like live theater. I just
me too. I just am not good at being trapped like that physically. But
yeah. So she wants to.
Yeah.
Bring
she
Ty.
Wants to go with Ty so that they, you know. They make it back together.
We know that they don't break up right away in 2021. Mm-hmm. Or when we get to 2021, we know when they make it back, they stay together for a little while. Do you think we're going to get that scene?
Oh my God, I hope so. I need that to like balance out all of the horror.
Right?
Yeah. We need them in Central Park on a carriage eating with pretzels. A soft
pretzel.
Under a blanket, mm-hmm. like on a slightly chilly like fall, early winter day. Yeah, ugh. I need that. I definitely need that.
So nice.
Mari and Akilah decide to go as well.
Yeah, the fact that they live, they're set up as such red shirts. Like these two people that we really haven't heard talk very much up to this point. We really don't get much of either of them until season two, though more than I remembered.
Yeah,
when we were watching season two, we all kind of were watching them like, oh, suddenly Mari and Akilah are around, but they were around for sure.
Yeah, they were dropping little things to develop, mm-hmm. particularly Mari's personality. Mm-hmm. And then Travis is packing to go. And we get a scene where Nat, like, just kind of breaks down and asks him not to go.
Right.
And he seems relieved. Because I think he was just going because he felt like, well, they need a man there. They have that whole conversation about how it's, like, kind of sexist of him to say that.
I love Nat. I'm sure with a little effort, you can overcome the sexist part.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nat. I'm going to do this every week, but man, is it hard to watch her in 2021. Like,
it's really, I mean, this episode was rough in that mm-hmm, sense. I reacted to it a lot when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think this is one of the places where there was some interesting connection between the two sections. No, that was later. But there's a Nat Travis mm-hmm. Kevin thing that happens later. So Van grabs the compass from the plane. Lottie gives Van the bone.
And we get the premonition. She mm-hmm. saw red smoke in a river of blood.
Cedar water.
It's cedar water.
Did I say that right?
No.
Cedar water.
Cedar water. They kind of rhyme.
Cedar water. Yeah. Yeah. Although now it's so funny watching it back and hearing Misty mention later on iron ore. And I'm
know.
Like,
I feel like all of that speculation later in season two felt like we were all doing a lot of work, but they were giving it to us early on.
Yeah.
So there's just, they keep it. The back and forth is so smart because there are certain things like the stuff with Jeff later where I'm like, how did we ever think it was anybody else? And it's like, well, the back and forth of it all. And like, there are so many red herrings again later we'll talk about with like Adam and even Callie to an extent, like that. I just feel like we never had time to think about anything long enough at what like to pin anything down.
Yeah, they're jumping around a lot. They're dropping all these little hints, mm-hmm. Some that end up kind of materializing and some that don't.
Mm-hmm.
This, we get Misty watching Ben and Ty through the window and getting jealous of their like bonding moment.
So funny. How
he's clearly like proud of Ty for doing mm-hmm. this and kind of getting her ready. Mm-hmm. Misty's like, I need to be in on this.
Uh-huh. She's so funny here. Ben is so good when she's like giving him this, you can't talk me out of it
mm-hmm.
speech that she has prepared. And he's just like,
you're like, so brave.
It'd be just like, so you could just see him doing the math in his head of like, how much do I have to buy in to not make her suspicious, but also to make sure that she does go because I need her to leave. It's perfect.
It's like, can't be like, oh yeah, go have fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the like exhale that he gives when she turns away, it's like the first time he's done that since they crashed.
Yeah. Like, yeah, totally. I noticed a warm hug between Ty and Shauna here.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like, we're seeing so much buildup of their friendship over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aww. And then Jackie confronts Shauna. It's so sad. It's like, I don't know. Every time I watch this, I'm more of a fan of Jackie.
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, she is selfish in a lot of ways, in most of the ways. She doesn't really think of Shauna as existing as a person on her own. All of mm-hmm. that is true. But she does really care about her in her own way. Like she doesn't like that she's being lied to, and that's a big part of it. But she does want to know.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine? I mean, like, okay, if you put yourself back in the head of like a 16, 17-year-old, and you have a best friend that you have this like weirdly intimate relationship with, right?
Uh-huh. Sounds familiar.
I know. I was like, yeah,
let's see if I can try to put my. Okay.
Can you imagine not telling that friend that you lost your virginity?
Well, that.
That would be the first thing. First person.
That, like, especially with them, there's that scene last week where they're going through the script of, like, what will I say to Jeff for you, blah, blah, blah. That they didn't talk for a week beforehand, making a pros and cons list of who Shauna should lose her virginity to.
Exactly. Like, yeah. No, that's so why right. I think it's so, like, if you add on the typical teen girl friendship thing, that's why she was that upset. Like, if my best friend didn't call me as soon as she lost her virginity, I would be like, who are you?
But it is very Jackie of her, for her first question to be like, why didn't you tell me? Not like, how was it? Not who was it? Like, the first question is she spins it right back on herself, which is Jackie's biggest flaw.
Right. But it's also just general 16, 17 year old teen girl selfishness. But she tells her it was Randy, which is the logical, like, lie there, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ella Purnell's so good here, too. Just her, like, delivery, when she's like, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
I like her so much.
Yeah.
She does say, we're going to get through this together, which is, like.
They're not.
They're not. They're not. But it is also that, man, that codependency of, like, are we? I do always think of, I know that, like, that's sort of the joke, but I do always think of that baby as Jackie's baby, not Jeff's baby.
Like, yeah. Well, and later on, I mean, Shauna eats part of Jackie.
For sustenance.
Yeah. That kind of goes into
like
the
soul sustenance, not like caloric sustenance.
Well, both. They're walking through the woods with Ty and Van. They have that funny comment about, if this was a movie, Ty, you would obviously die first.
She says no, because you're the skeptical one.
Yeah.
They also set up the, like, if this was a horror movie, Lottie would be the villain.
Yeah.
That whole thing I thought was really interesting, especially with how we've, like, in the beginning with Lottie in season two, like, trying to figure out what her motives are. I think we've landed on just feeling sorry for her more than anything at this point, but.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the end of this season, the last line is, who the fuck is Lottie Matthews?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, like, she is being set up as the villain.
And we know that, like, somebody cleared out, this is the episode where we found out that somebody cleared out Travis's bank account. We know now that was Lottie, right? Yeah. But like, but so they really were setting us up for that. Also, I forgot, or it didn't click at the time, that Lottie predicted the prom queen the year before, and also a teacher scandal.
Yeah.
So we know that she's had, even when she was medicated, she's Lottie still was having, although predicted
visions.
The prom queen is like.
Yeah. That's not that hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how big their school is, but.
Right.
You could probably figure that out.
We all knew who was going to be prom queen.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we get the sad little sex scene between Nat and Travis here.
All I wrote for this is Travis continues to be a giant baby. This is a scene, though, it does come right after in 2021. Nat is telling the other girls, the other women, about the fact that she's sleeping with Kevin Tan.
Kevin Tan. That's the one I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
This happens right here.
Yeah. Again, we keep seeing Travis and Kevin kind of put in opposition to each other as these two different types of men that either are drawn to Nat or Nat is drawn to.
Right. And that Nat, because of everything that happened out in the woods, can't let Kevin be good to her and can't, like, let that relationship happen. And
she's so mean to him at the end.
Oh, God. Man, Juliette Lewis, I don't know if I've said this on this podcast before. She was never, I know this is sacrilegious as a woman who grew up in the 90s, but, or what, a girl who grew up in the 90s, whatever. Juliette Lewis was never a favorite of mine before this show. Like, I just never clicked with her. She's so good. We'll get there, but her in that scene, it's all in her face. It's amazing.
Yeah. I was a fan of her from, I think it was Natural Born Killers.
She's in lots of movies that I love. And she had always kind of stuck out to me. It's like, oh, I love that movie, but for. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's heartbreaking.
So good. But Nat, young Nat, continues as always. Travis is a baby and she's so patient with him and he does not deserve it.
Like, no.
Even a little bit.
She's trying to manage his ego through the whole thing and it's just not.
And she's never given him any reason to think that she is judging him or that he needs to feel so. Like, she's been so much better to him than he deserves.
She has more experience than him.
Yep.
That's it.
And he's such a baby about it. I'm like, you guys are just out in the wilderness. Like, you've let so many other things go. Like, can you?
Yeah.
Can you just?
I know. But I mean, you cannot overstate how big of a deal that felt like it was at that time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, your number or totally. Like if you were still a virgin and all of that stuff, especially for guys.
Mm-hmm. And it is funny. We see that like in this episode with Jackie and Shauna, right? Like. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, it's just really hard to give him any kind of grace when he acts this with her. But also maybe part of that is because I do feel so fiercely for Nat and want like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's being a child about it. Jackie in this next conversation with Shauna is starting to get suspicious.
Yeah.
Because she realizes that. There's a timing issue and that maybe she senses Shauna's lying to her.
Well, and like she says, how could I possibly have missed it? And Shauna says, like, I have a life outside of you, you know, but
she
doesn't.
No.
And the reason that Jackie missed it is because she's hiding it and trying really hard to hide it from her because it's Jeff, we know, but like Jackie's right. Totally right to be suspicious on all fronts.
And I think Shauna saying, I have a life outside of you, you know?
Yeah.
Jackie's would be like, the thing that would be like, wait, no, you don't.
Totally. Totally.
When?
Yeah. Can we just take a second to talk about Shauna's drink of choice? Malibu and milk?
Oh, God.
Jody, what?
Okay, so full disclosure, I don't drink. Full disclosure, I've never drank. So I only know what this is just from seeing other people drink it. But like, isn't that milk on milk?
Well, Malibu is
it's very sweet,
rum,
right?
But it's like it's rum, but it's like tropical. So it's like I guess it's like a poor man's piña colada is the
okay.
But like you're just at a party with a glass of milk and it like
I mean, my friends were drinking Boone's Farm, so.
Hey, Jody. How dare you compare Boone's Farm to Malibu and milk?
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, my point in saying that was not to compare the two. It was to say that teen taste in alcohol is often, what did I try first? Or what are my friends drinking? Or what is available?
Well. And that, to me, is what makes Malibu and milk highly suspicious and tells you that there is something wrong with Shauna because nobody else in high school was drinking Malibu and milk. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Horrifying.
That's fair. Yeah. No, it just sounds gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Shauna's shirt in French says Glimmer of Hope, by the way.
Oh, no.
With a bunch of butterflies on it. Yeah.
I remember the butterfly shirt.
Yeah, but... it's in French, but it says Glimmer of Hope is what it translates to.
That's sad.
Boy.
Okay. Well, we're around the fire. This whole section.
Oh, it's to make you fall even more in love with Van so then your heart can be broken when.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot this was over a couple of nights because the first thing that happens is. They're traveling and then they're around the fire. Van is, of course, recounting the plot of why you were sleeping. Our girl Sandy.
So our girl Sandy. It's just, I know, we know, but I love Van so much.
It's so good. They hear the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And Ty says wolves are afraid of humans.
Mm-hmm.
And they get into like who's going to take watch first.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I noted that. Right after this, it flips to 2021 and Misty is watching, just casually watching the movie that was recounted the night that her friend was violently attacked by a wolf and smiling about it.
It is
psychotic.
It's like her eating the jerky and not even making the connection that might be.
Or making the connection and thinking of these as fond memories.
Yeah, it is.
Like, this is like later on in season two when they're sitting around the fire at Lottie's compound and mm-hmm. she says that thing about like something where she's like wanting to reminisce and they're like, you want to reminisce about the 19 months we spent starving in the woods? Like,
exactly.
What are you talking about? But she thinks of them as these like, you know, oh, childhood memories. Mm-hmm. She's like watching it on that little TV.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I love her. Super creepy.
We get more of Shauna and Javi.
They're so cute.
It's really
sweet. She's such a big sister vibe.
She really is. Like, not something I clocked the first time through, but as we've been watching for it.
He's looking for the knife for an art project.
For an art project, you know, because Javi's a little artist.
Yeah. Weird. Uh-huh.
Yep. She hides her journal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing like, you know, Chekhov's journal.
Chekhov's journal.
In the rafters. At least they did wait a long time for that to pay off. Because at first, you're kind of like, why are they pulling up to the ceiling? And then you see it and you're like, is that going to be? Yeah. Okay. Same mm-hmm. episode. That's going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
Although I still don't know how Jackie knows it's up there, but
yeah, that is,
that's a little blip,
but fine.
Yeah. Like why is she in the rafters
in the first
place?
What
is Jackie doing?
Unless she was watching Shauna like through a window or something, which maybe like,
but we don't see it.
Yeah. This is when we get that river of blood, which again could be iron.
Mm-hmm.
This is another argument for these girls. I still think they're Monmouth County girls, but I think they would be able to recognize cedar water at the very least, whether it's iron or not. And they do
Yeah. I think the Pine Barrens are more of a secret part of New Jersey, even to New Jerseyans, than we think they are.
Maybe if you didn't have a stepfather who worked in the cranberry bogs.
For example.
Be a little more connected.
For example.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Okay.
And the compass is spinning.
Which, again, all very easily explained away, I think, at least in TV show logic, by iron deposits in the water. And, and so, sure.
Magnetic. Or, compasses are magnetic.
Right. Or we all know a spinning compass is a... I'm struggling with how I say that word. I tried to get both versions into that one. And it sounded crazy. Or supernatural.
Right. Either one.
Mm-hmm.
And we get it. We get that right there. Like, Mari and Van are both like, ooh, something weird's happening. And Ty is like, no, there's an explanation for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I am so Ty. I'm like.
She says the woods don't give a shit, which I really like.
I'm sorry. Ty's right. Like, I understand that there's a group of people that are really into the supernatural part of this show. But the woods don't give a shit.
No,
like, anyone who does regular hiking or camping, that is something that you have to internalize.
Yeah. And I think the problem, I don't know if that's the right word, but the issue with this show having drawn such a clear, like, encouraging, such a clear argument with, is it supernatural? Is it trauma? Is it, there's no, I don't know what they're going to do at the end, because they have shown us over and over and over again.
That
it could be both, but whenever they resolve something, it always ends up being trauma. It always ends up being or the women doing it to themselves, like, over and over and over again. So then at the end, if that's all it ends up being, people are going to be disappointed, because it's like, well, then why? But if you do give us some confirmation of the supernatural, then it's kind of like, I think you and I are going to be,
they've painted themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
You know,
though, I think this is the case with any kind of media that does this, where it's like, well, if you make us go back and forth between two things, it's unsatisfying to not give us a definitive answer, and it's also unsatisfying to give us a definitive answer. So I don't know what you can do other than make it a little bit of everything. But even that, it, like, I just don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I just was thinking about this idea of, like, the inconclusive ending. I watched the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon. With Donald Glover.
I love him, but
Maya Erskine.
How was it?
It was entertaining. It was very preposterous and very over the top. But, you know, why would you not want to watch Donald Glover on your screen for, like, that many hours? But the ending in that is extremely inconclusive. It ends on a, you don't know what actually happened. You have, like, two options, really. And it may come back for another season, it may not, but it was left on such a unanswered question. And I wonder about, like, is that something...
It's so hard because that used to just be a cliffhanger. But yeah. We can't rely on shows coming back to resolve for us anymore. That it's like...
Yeah.
I know. I don't have the strength for a cliffhanger anymore.
Yeah. Well, and so I was listening to the Ringer podcast about it. And their reaction to it being inconclusive was extremely positive. They were like, oh, I love an inconclusive ending. And I'm like, I don't know that I do. Like... I kind of want to know.
I don't know that I do anymore. I used to. I used to really be into that. I love the idea that, and I think one of the strengths of this show and the reason you and I want to talk about it so much is it like shift your perspective. You can put a different lens on and the show becomes very different depending on how you watch it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do still feel really drawn to that. But at the same time,
yeah,
there is a part of me that's like... just kind of also at the same time yearning for a little like resolution or conclusion. Yeah. And I don't know what, and this isn't like a complaint. It's more of a question. I don't know at this point what the show could do that will make me feel satisfied at the end. I don't know. I don't know what I want.
Know. I mean, I think that for me, obviously, I lean more towards the realism side of it and its trauma side of it. I'm fine with there being unexplained things. Mm-hmm. I just think that, like, something like this, the River of Blood, we've talked about this before. You can so easily get into the deepest rabbit hole and not be able to get out of it when you start thinking about, okay, well, if we're looking at unreliable narrators, also, it's like, okay, who's telling us this story? Mm-hmm. Are we an omniscient viewer or are we getting it through the eyes of one of the characters or multiple of the characters, you know? And that is where it gets like, partly is where it gets interesting, but also is where it gets real dangerous to go down a rabbit hole of, well, nothing is real.
Right.
And
there's
nothing to hold on to. Mm-hmm. And then I'm bummed because I want there to be some.
Right. Because if it's like, well, the river. Reality. They saw the river and the compass was spinning and that really happened. Yeah. How they choose to believe or not believe or rationalize or not, it has to do with them and how they process this event.
Right.
But what we know for sure is XYZ. Right.
Yeah. Like I
that's
kind
different
of,
than, yeah. Well, it was all in somebody's head and who knows what really, whether they were even in the woods or left the woods or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my fear. And I don't think they're going to end up in that place, but that is my fear of like, if you start leaving too many things open-ended, you don't have solid ground at all to stand on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they have their second night out, which is where it all goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They set up for bed. Ty tries to give a little pep talk. Nobody's having it. They're all scared, kind of wanting to go back home.
And it is Van's the one who shuts it down. We don't need another speech. Thaisa.
Yeah.
She gets full named. We just need to sleep.
Which I noticed that Simone also does when she's mad at her. Thaisa. Yeah. So Ty says she'll do first watch.
Mm.
Don't not give the nothing. Woman with a sleepwalking problem the first watch, guys.
Yeah, that's... Truly.
Big mistake.
Huge. Anyway.
Anyway, before we go back to the actual wolf attack, we get a quick scene of Shauna up in the attic and she sees the little carved wolf that Javi made, which that didn't really occur to me as much when I first watched it, but like Javi is carving a wolf while they're getting attacked by wolves.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
And also, though, you
is Javi psychic?
Hey, Jody, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, exactly.
But also, I thought it was very sweet that he says, like, oh, I was looking for the knife for an art project, and we're like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, what is he really, what's he need this knife for?
Yeah.
But it really was for an art project.
It was. And also, as somebody who attempted a bit of whittling this summer while on camping trips, that's
hard to do. You tried to whittle a little?
I tried to whittle a little, yes. I tried to make a spoon. It's not easy.
Seems like it wouldn't be.
No, it's not. I got a little knife for it and everything. It's just, it's he's got a natural talent for this.
Showing some real potential to become an artist maybe later in life, you think?
Maybe, yeah.
Huh, yeah. Interesting.
And they wonder why we were like so obsessed with this theory.
Watching this episode, 100%, I was like, we say like, oh, they wanted to leave it open that maybe out. No.
They were planting it.
I really think that heads, like something shifted, but up until the end of this season, they were going to reveal that Adam was Javi.
I mean, they definitely had that in mind. I don't know how far along they were when they changed their minds, but.
But it's it's like almost frustrating that they planted it so.
They did plant it so much.
So much.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah. That for it to not. Like.
So many points throughout the season. There's like little things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, big things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she sees it. She smiles, goes to bed. We see the journal's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we immediately, like I said, get our answer. We see Jackie outside reading it and crying.
Oh, she's crying so much. It's so sad.
I mean, like...
I forgot she found out this, not early because we're wrapping up, but for some reason, I thought all of this came in the last episode. But
yeah, it all kind of... The question opens up pretty quickly and resolves pretty quickly about her finding out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's heartbreaking. She's like, not only did she find out that like her best friend and her boyfriend betrayed her, she's now stuck in the woods.
Yeah.
Hungry with that best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
who she knows is pregnant with like, it's not just she found out that like Jeff was cheating on her with her best friend. Like,
yeah.
All of it is.
Yeah. And it's got to be like, you know, part of you wants, like, you know, she's been so caring about Shauna's physical condition for the last couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. And like, she must have felt so tricked, like, the whole time.
Yeah, I really, really feel for her.
Yeah. And then we jump to, this part feels like a dream to me, the whole thing. And like,
the way that she's perched in the tree.
And jumps down into the fog.
Yeah.
Like,
and like,
she's so high up.
The way that even the wolves look so, and it's a TV show. I know that whatever, but like the wolves look super fake, like more so than.
Everything's heightened. Like everything in this scene, it's played like it's a dream sequence.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it's filmed, the way it's lit, like. The way it's blocked with the girls with their like
the way they're fire. All like lined up against the wolves who are lined up with the log, like it does it, and it like it feels intentionally,
it leans towards like a dream sequence.
Totally.
But
and
yeah,
there are moments, I'm trying to think of some others, but there definitely are moments throughout this series that make me feel like when people say things like we were sort of just alluding to earlier, that like, oh, maybe really what we're seeing in these 1996 timeline is somebody recounting what happened.
Right.
And like, this is an example of where we see that kind of, what's the word that I want? Not loosening. The like opacity between the telling and the story kind of thinning, like a veil, of, you know, like if this then resolved into somebody sitting in a mental hospital or something telling the story, this would be where that reveal might happen.
Yeah, it would make me very angry, but it would also make some sense based on what we're seeing.
Right.
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate that she is holding the bone that she took off of Van in the tree. That's nuts to me. I forgot about that.
I know.
Ty fires the flare gun. And
red
then
smoke.
Yeah, red smoke. And then goes fucking crazy. I forgot how violent this scene is with the axe when she's killing the wolf. This is like...
It goes on for a very long time.
Yeah. And I'm now reminded like, oh, and Ty sees a wolf repeatedly. It's like... Mm-hmm. She's being haunted by this moment in a way,
and
you know,
it like it feels very much like, and I don't think we were supposed to know whether or not I know we know Ty survives this attack. And by the end of season one, we know Ty survives this attack.
You mean Van?
Van.
Yeah,
That Van survives this attack. At the end of this episode, you think she's dead. Right. But we think...
But next episode, we find out she survives.
Right, exactly. But it still feels up until we learn for sure that Van is alive in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
You think that Ty is haunted by the death of Van. And I think the showrunners had it in mind that she might not make it to 2021 as well until we all said we love her so much, right?
Right. I think I remember that being part of the conversation.
And so it still makes sense that Ty would be haunted by that wolf with how this is the first. I mean, they've had a lot of traumatic incidents, plane crash and Ben's leg and so much gore and all of that. But this is like...
Yeah, this is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she kills the wolf with the axe. Extremely violently. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it had occurred to me, again, this is just my brain not making connections, but that the fact that she sees specifically wolves probably has ties back to this.
Right. That this is the inciting moment of her deepest trauma.
Yeah. The fire goes out while she's doing this, which I thought was weird. And then we see that Van is missing like half of their face, which
is so
horrifying.
Gory.
It's so gross. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's... And again, like, it's magic of TV, I know, but she heals up pretty well in the long run,
This is one of the least realistic or the most fantastical parts of this is the fact that, like, you know, a bunch of teen girls with some thread managed to save Van's whole face.
It would have been reconstructive facial surgery
over years
with like skin grafts and she wouldn't have come out looking as good as she does in 2021. Like, I don't care. But fine, whatever, fine.
Yeah. Bit of a stretch, let's say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember now that like when this episode first aired, I mean, she had to be dead.
Yeah, I was looking back at reviews just to see what people thought, and everybody was writing about it like this was Van's send-off for sure.
No. The magic of teen surgery.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it is funny that Van almost dies in the plane crash.
She almost dies so many times.
She almost dies here. Like, I just think that Van has a strong will to live.
Now in season two, when we find out that she has cancer.
Well, Lottie's going to heal her. Don't worry.
That's the thing. Van doesn't die.
Right. Right.
Like Van, things that kill other people don't kill Van.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see.
Van will survive somehow.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Or we're relying on that because we love her and it's going to be.
There's also that. I mean, it's
heartbreaking when we lose her.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think we're set up that, you know, things that kill other people, Van is okay.
Mm-hmm.
She survives somehow.
Her plucky spirit. But that's the end of 96.
Yes, that's the end of 96. We end on that sort of extremely dramatic scene that does not feel real.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the last scene in the episode or is there one after that?
I think that's the last. That's the last one I have noted.
You're right. That's the last scene in the whole episode.
Because I think the last one we get in 2021 is Kevin and Nat.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
I like how 2021 picks up right where last week left off.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
she's still up a tree.
Yeah.
she's still up a tree.
You know what? Here's something. Oh, also, this scene of Tawny, love of our life.
Mm-hmm.
She's so good in that scene where she's washing the dirt off.
Oh my god! Yeah,
and
her face.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
You know what? I hadn't. She took that bite out of her own hand, right?
Yes, that's what we're supposed to assume. Yes.
I read a couple of reviews this week where people were like, "Oh, I wonder if it like was it? It's obviously not a dog bite." But was it Biscuit? Was it somebody in self-defense? Was it? And I was like, I think my feeling has never been to question that it was anything other than Ty and just like leaning into how dissociated and like animalistic she sort of becomes when she's in this sort of fugue state.
So question though, Do we see Biscuit after this?
Oh,
or is
know.
This when we lose Biscuit?
We should be on Biscuit Watch. We'll have to be on Biscuit Watch.
Hold on. I'm going to open up.
And the parallel of her killing that wolf so brutally and us getting the first hint that this is where we lose Biscuit would make a lot of sense.
Uh-huh. I'm going to open up real quick my notes from the following episodes, because I do want to see, now that you said that, because I wrote a note to myself this time. That bite is wild looking.
Does it look like an animal bite?
It doesn't look like a person bite. Like, the teeth are kind of spread apart.
It's really hard. This scene is shot so dark that it's hard to see.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. Okay. Well, then maybe.
So let me look at.
Fascinating.
Let me look at my notes from the next couple of episodes real quick and just see if this is the end of Biscuit as a live dog.
I've still been holding on to, I know it's not the case, but I like the idea that something or somebody else had to do with Biscuit's death.
Oh, we know that's not true. She killed her dog.
And made a weird shrine to it, despite not believing in all that shit.
She killed her dog. Let's see. Where are we with Ty? Okay. So I know that we don't want to go too far ahead, but I just want to, I want, in context of what we're talking about, think about where Ty is next.
We can go as far ahead as we want. That's true.
It doesn't matter.
Kind of what we're doing.
Yeah. So the next time we see Ty, she shows up at Shauna's house and says she's afraid of hurting her family.
So she will have already.
Let's look ahead. So she shows up. They have their little slumber party. Mm-hmm. They talk about the affair, blah, blah, blah. Dude.
So Ty, this is when it happens.
It is. Because the next time we see Ty in the next episode, in episode 8, she comes home and sees Simone and Sammy making posters for Biscuit. This is when she kills Biscuit. How did we not realize this?
I thought, until I read a review of somebody being like, oh, I wonder if...
This is when she kills Biscuit. Because it is, like you said, it's paralleling the wolf attack.
Totally.
Right? So the wolf attack is going on in 96. She's killing her dog in 2021.
Fascinating.
Probably, maybe with an axe, because she attacked the wolf with an axe.
Right. Well, and Biscuit was beheaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if not with an axe, we know she has that machete she went after the wolf with when she told, in my head, not machete, she grabs like
a knife.
Cleaver is the word I wanted.
Oh, right, right.
I think it's a meat cleaver that she grabs, if I remember correctly. Doesn't matter. Anyway, Ty is weaponized. She has weapon in 2021.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking.
That's when she kills him.
Of course.
She's in that fugue state and ends up in the tree. And that's why she has bite marks on her hand. How the fuck have I watched this show 17 times?
Again, because everything
is made that connection.
And because I thought all this time the bite was...
Self-inflicted. Yeah.
But
I noticed that bite being weird from the beginning. Like, it doesn't look like a human bite.
Well, I thought it was she really tore into her own hand. And that shows how deep under she was.
But the spacing of the teeth is not human.
See? Yeah. I guess I didn't get a good enough look. I just thought it was an oversight. It's apparently...
No, it's our oversight.
And it is so sad. And it's also, man, I love thinking about when people talk about just bear with me for a moment. You're always bearing with me, but in this case especially, people, one of the very like outside theories on the show has to do with like time travel or parallel timelines, that kind of thing. And I don't think that's what's going on.
Mm-mm.
But there is something to be said about the way these women are so trapped in the past that like you can overlay what's happening in 2021 against
right.
it. And the back and forth is so intentional to draw those connections in like a emotional way and then visually for us. But to think about it having like, to think about it more literally lining up that way is really interesting.
Like, it's almost like she's reenacting that moment in the
exactly.
woods with her poor sweet dog.
Right.
Like,
which is PTSD, like severe PTSD can do that. Like, think about like people coming home from war and like they hear a loud noise and then they're right back in it and can't distinguish really. Yeah, I know that's Ty, not how PTSD happens... works for everybody, but really severe cases, it certainly can.
Yeah, and for Ty, these things happen when she's asleep.
Yep.
And so it happens when she's asleep in the woods. Mm-hmm. You know, she's up a tree, and then mm-hmm. she ends up having to kill the wolf to save Van. And then in 2021, she goes to sleep and wakes up having done the exact same thing again.
Heartbreaking. Like, well, she wakes up having done the same thing and then building a shrine with her right. dead dog's head. That part...
Also, Biscuit probably wasn't trying to kill her no. wife.
No. No, I don't like, think so.
I don't think that Biscuit has that disposition.
Man, this is just me being... But it makes me so sad to think that he was awake when it happened.
I don't know.
I mean, if he was able to try to fight back.
Now I'm sad.
I know.
She's woken up by the texts from Nat.
Yeah, not cutting off the dog's head, crawling into a crawl space, building a shrine. It's the texts from Nat.
That sound will wake you up, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's go time.
Yep.
And Nat's texting her to hurry up. It's yikes. Now thinking about what she was just doing when she's getting those texts.
I know.
I'm like mad at myself for not making this connection until now, but I'll have to get over it.
Again, with everything... And we're talking about those two scenes being paralleled, or those two moments being paralleled, but the scenes aren't. They're right. at opposite ends of the episode. This is right. the first thing we see in
That's
this,
true.
This, and the last thing we see, one That's of the last true. Things we see in 96.
Right.
Or in the episode.
Right.
That's a good thing we're doing this.
Yeah. Ty and Shauna show up while Ned is hanging out smoking.
Mm-hmm.
She has the bag that Callie made for Jeff back when she was cute. I love how much Shauna shits on her daughter.
Such an asshole. She, you know, last week I asked why Nat was so mean to Shauna about Jeff hawking futons. But Shauna just very callously says, we all have families and lives. We can't just sneak out a window.
They're both so mean to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's no, I don't know why it didn't occur to me that this was like, clearly something happened
mm-hmm.
because in the woods, they're not sniping at each other like yeah. that. They're barely interacting.
Right.
Like but... they're having just normal interactions. They're not paired against each other really.
Mm-hmm. No.
Until the very end when, like we said, the choosing of the next Antler right. Queen happens. Mm-hmm.
So I am very interested to see what happens in season 3 with the two of them because
yeah,
they are in a way that like, again, Ty, she even talks about it a little later. She's much more patient with Nat. Ty and Shauna are much closer. Like, mm-hmm. it is interesting.
Also, just to note that Shauna's wearing a butterfly shirt here.
In 2021?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can't believe I missed that after that's the Glimmer of Hope shirt she's wearing
yeah.
in 96 is covered in butterflies.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
She's in her butterfly shirt and a lavender cardigan.
Huh.
I might note.
It's not heliotrope?
No, it's, well, I'm the one that called it lavender, so maybe it is heliotrope.
Ty refers to her car as her baby in this scene, which is very funny considering how happy she is to destroy it and her wife.
Yeah.
Very, not too
far off, yeah. I love how... There's like all these constant references to what this would be if it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the woods, Van is talking about what would be happening if this was mm-hmm. a movie. And Shauna's like, I expected the money to be bigger.
Like, it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's it kind of like
a movie.
Gets in the way of her tracker plan because it's hard to hide the tracker in the money then.
Yeah, they just throw trash in the bag, mm-hmm. which doesn't seem like a great idea.
All of these women suffer from. Because they came to rely on themselves so much out in the woods and yeah. made it back.
Yeah.
I really think they think the people around them are not capable.
Yeah, like, they definitely have an inflated sense of their own abilities.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nat, for some reason, takes Ty's car and doesn't know how to start it, which, relatable. If funny. I ever got into a big fancy car like that, I'd be like, yeah. what do I do?
What the hell? Yeah.
Nat drops the bag in the bin. Ty and Shauna are just kind of hanging out and talking. This is where, like you said, we find out that Ty paid for Nat's last rehab.
Mm-hmm. That line that we've talked about so much, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her.
Right, right. Which now looking at it, I think just has to do with Nat getting them through the winter as their like antler queen. I don't think it has to do with the find, I don't know, maybe it does, but like,
that
I don't,
could be both. It could yeah. be, it certainly at least is in part referring yeah. to that.
Yeah.
Cause she's also the one, she and Travis were the ones in season two who are mapping
right
there, the land too. So
yeah. Although their official line is like, they found us. And so I'm like, how? Like, does right. it have to do with Nat and Travis going, or did somebody stumble upon them? Like, I really, it needs to be 2025 so I can find out how they get found.
I know.
That's like the thing I most want to know, is how they got out.
It is. I am most interested at this point in how they got out and what 1998 or whatever, 99 looks like for them.
Yeah, for sure. This is also where I started to feel, I mean, I always feel bad for Nat because of the way they wrote her, but mm-hmm. I felt really bad for her here because Shauna and Ty are talking about her and talking to her like she is an idiot.
Yep.
Like she is a broken toy or a mm-hmm. child. Like, they're just so rude with her.
Yeah, it really. And she, like, the way that she, like, tries to, when she tells them that she's been sleeping with Kevin Tan.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's actually kind of nice. Like, it, to see her try to, I don't know.
I know.
It's all, everything about this scene is really heartbreaking.
They're so condescending.
Mm-hmm.
We get a quick shot of Misty watching Kevin sleep.
I God. Have, I know we love her.
Yeah.
She is. I mean, she. Misty is very much the, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them, yes.
Like, Misty is the best example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jess is screaming in the basement. Mm-hmm. I had literally, there was so much else going on in this episode, I kind of forgot Misty had Jess tied up in her basement.
God, I love Jessica Roberts so much.
I know.
I want you to tell me the truth. Okay, your haircut is unflattering.
It's one of the best lines.
Yeah. It is another, like, Misty is just in a totally different show than the rest of the people in this show.
Yeah. Simultaneously, we see the beacon starts moving, and then we also go back to Misty, where she's watching, like we said before, while mm-hmm. you were sleeping on an mm-hmm. old TV.
Jessica says that she's sure Travis was murdered.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting because Jessica is like the least involved in all the crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, she is like an outside voice. She's given us no reason to think that she's like a conspiracy theorist or anything.
Right.
She's clearly been through some shit. She says it's not her first time being held hostage, and I believe her.
Yeah.
So like, the fact that she is so sure that Travis was murdered, I know it's because of the bank account thing, and that's what it points to and makes a kind of sense. Like, that would be her. But it's still, to me, I'm like, even knowing all of that.
Yeah, it's notable that she's that sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because Misty is saying that she's protecting her friends and mm-hmm. she's blaming Jess for all of these, you know, the blackmail and all of that stuff. And Jess is like, what are you even talking about?
Right. But she's so smart when she's like, we should be partners on this. Like, she's really trying to, and we fall for it up until.
Yeah. Up until the cigarettes.
We think Misty has also fallen for it.
Which not she yet, clearly has not.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like this back and forth of them being like trying to manipulate each other. And mm-hmm. then Misty breaks that little spell by just like slapping her.
Mm-hmm.
Rude.
We get a really good, really good needle drop next.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I don't have it written
is
down.
Is that next? It's Firestarter.
Yes, it's yes, that is next. Yeah. I forgot I didn't have that part written down. But yeah, so they drive, the three of them drive to the bin. They see a truck coming in. They, like, think that that's the guy, which mm-hmm. it isn't. Nat pulls out the gun. Like,
yep.
Come on.
Poor impulse control.
Oh, seriously. It's so funny. There's like multiple mini movies happening at the same mm-hmm. time. Like, we have the little horror movie dream sequence. We have Misty in whatever dark comedy she's in. Later on, Adam refers to being in a French farce.
I've never been in a French farce. That's one of my favorite lines of the whole series.
I know. But here, it's like a heist movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an Ocean's 11 or a, uh-huh. you know, they're like chasing him through this warehouse, their thrift store, whatever the hell it is, runs Ty's, into a bag of glitter.
Before the glitter, Ty yeah. says, take the wing, Hold on. Wait, I have it written down. I want to make sure I get this right.
Yeah.
Take the wing. I'll mark him like at States.
Yeah.
It's so silly. I sort of do need to be reminded that these were
soccer players
and like really capable, successful athletes who had like a real future ahead of them that way, if not for the crashing and their lives being ruined and all of that.
Yeah.
But I'll mark him like it states is so silly to be even thinking about right now.
In your 40s.
Like,
yeah. Like that they immediately went back to that.
Yeah.
Versus the fact that they've literally chased people through the woods.
I was just going to say, what she should have said was, take the wing. Yeah. I'll chase him like we did Javi.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
This should have really, you know what? This should have really fucked all, this moment should have really fucked all of them up. Like, the rest of this episode should be the three of them, like, I don't even know what, like,
yeah,
violently throwing up. Like the fact that this didn't throw them right back to chasing Javi.
But they love the adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Shauna seeking out all this self-destructive behavior. Yep. You
absolutely.
Know? Yeah. So who we now know is Jeff runs into a giant thing of glitter. Nat's like still running around with her gun.
Mm-hmm.
He gets away. But not until Nat fires like at him and Ty like knocks her out of the way.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell is she gonna do?
She says I wasn't gonna kill him, but like you weren't not trying to, like,
yeah, you were pointing a gun in his general direction.
Yeah.
We get that great tie line, we look for an asshole covered in glitter.
Oh, Jeff. Though yep. At the end of this episode, you think Adam is gonna be the asshole covered in glitter.
Oh yeah. For
which
sure.
They still use when Shauna thinks it is him because she finds the glitter. Remember a few weeks back, I was really confused about that, of like how the glitter had, like, and it's that they had us.
They set put Adam where it in could the closet. Be.
Yeah. So it's like the glitter could have been Adam or Jeff. And I just like,
yeah,
this is what I mean about them like planting so many different possibilities that it's like hard to keep track.
Yeah, absolutely. So then they're sitting in the car together at the end of the little heist movie that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, again, they're being so fucking mean to Nat.
Mm-hmm.
And Shauna says, like, we've done worse
than murder. Is it just now? I don't think we're pointing to anything worse happening out in the woods at this point than we've seen, other than the ways in which they carry out, right?
Like
the
ritualistic hunting of people, yeah.
But it's like they're like, it's that Javi, like, knowing what happens to him is,
yeah,
the first thing that came to mind watching it this time.
But Shauna is like super defensive. She says, tells her to speak for herself and not drag them into her endless pit of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, dude, you should have things to feel guilty about. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, and that's when Nat calls them on it and says, like, no, we're all fucked up. You guys are just pretending. Like,
yeah.
And she's right.
Like, she's so right. Yeah.
She's her behavior, I think you said this last week, in 2021 makes the most sense out of any of them.
Absolutely. Yes. If you've been through that, I would certainly have Nat's reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And Shauna gets home and sees Adam.
Wow, I can't believe you didn't mention Route 9. I was letting you have it. I was leaving that for you.
That's not a part of North Jersey that I spent a lot of time in, to be fair. If she'd mentioned Route 46, I would have jumped all over it.
Okay. But,
yeah, they're not Bergen Passaic folks, I don't think.
Right.
But yeah, Adam is sitting outside of her house at 4 a.m. Like, dude,
explain this to me, Jody.
Fucking relax.
What is he doing?
So I think what they want us now to think was happening then, after season 2,
right,
is that he became obsessed with her. This is when he's painting all these portraits of her.
Mm-hmm.
He's drawn in. He's showing up at 4 a.m. He's obsessed. He like can't get enough of her. But it does not read that way in the moment. It reads as him being, like, really fucking suspicious.
Yeah. I like the idea at this point that it could have been anybody, that it is obvious they want you to think Adam was the one, and that he, and like kind of like in Scream when Billy shows up at her house right after the attack to try to like, and actually ends up making himself seem even more suspicious. He's like trying to like give himself an alibi.
Right. That's definitely what this feels like in the moment.
But.
And he also kind of, so there's a weird line that he keeps dancing on where like he gets these looks in on his face that are kind of like aggressive, scary. Like he grabs her pretty aggressively here.
Yeah.
And says like that she wants to blow things up and see what happens. And
he
that's
says
where
you're
she
just like me or something. Every single cell in your body wants to blow things up and see what happens.
Yeah. And he's not wrong, but he would only know that about her if he knew about her past.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because otherwise they're just like, the other times we see them together, they're like playing mini golf and like drinking screwdrivers in a truck. Like they're not, that's, and she has been kind of like more careful than you would think she would be if that was the impression that he was going to get.
It is unfair of this show to be pretending now like this isn't what, and I want to apologize to the people that I've been giving a hard time about it because it, how, like,
yeah,
it's
no, they've
so
set us
obvious
up.
That's what they were setting up.
Yeah.
I also, this is a little nitpicky of me. He says, I didn't see any cars, so I took a risk or I took a gamble. They have one car. Why wouldn't you assume Shauna was out with her husband and that when they pulled up, he was going to be in the car with her?
That's a good point. Yeah, like, why would you assume that they were separated at, like, 4 in the morning?
It's a really weird...
Yeah. No, that's true.
So,
I don't know. He makes no sense to me in some ways in this whole first season.
Totally.
Like, they're really trying to have it every possible way.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's like, if they weren't planning on Adam being a bigger deal, and being Javi, to be totally clear... They set up and are just trying to use him as a red herring. They set it up too red.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not just teasing.
And I think even if it's not connected to him having at some point maybe having been Javi, like this is setting him up to be so much more involved than he theoretically ends up being.
Yeah, and you could have scaled it back a little bit and done the interesting thing that they're pretending they're doing of Shauna read too much into it because blah blah blah, like they've been telling this story to themselves all along, and now this poor guy who was infatuated with her for whatever reason like got caught up in it.
The easiest way, honestly, to get out of this Adam Javi thing is to acknowledge or kind of like tie together the narrative that Adam is a crazy fan, that he is one of those people that is obsessed with the Yellow Jackets, that found her, fell in love with her, you know, because he was already obsessed with the story, and then she kills him. Like,
right.
That is a way to have some of that suspicion that they're planting make sense, but not go so far as to say like, oh, it's secretly the person that she knew for, you know, this whole time when she was younger, like it doesn't recognize somehow.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, there's a way to get out of this that they had available.
But.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Nat's also arriving home.
The way they do the close-up on that gun.
Yeah.
It's the way they did the close-up on the journal, too, as if we're, like, not watching the show. It's like, yeah, I know she had the gun. But okay. Yeah.
Kevin is a real heavy sleeper. I am jealous.
I know. I thought if the only. Same thing, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Totally.
She climbs back in bed. We get another conversation between Misty and Jess. She's like threatening to send fentanyl-laced chocolates to Jess's father.
And I think watching it the first time, I was like, that's a crazy threat, Misty. You are really like laying it on here. What a performance. But She 100% would have sent that chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, she does the same thing with the cigarettes later on. Yeah. And this is where, so we did this whole thing a couple of episodes ago where we tried to break down the timing of Travis's death. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is where we get the Jess piece of that information. We don't actually see her there, but we hear her say that she was at his house before he was killed. She brought him that whiskey, that expensive whiskey that we saw, and that he wouldn't talk. And then she went home. And that was the extent of it from what she says here.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where she says she looked into his bank account and it was closed right after he died. She doesn't say by who, but, and we don't know if she knows by who.
Right. Yeah, I don't.
Because later on we find out from that other woman.
Right.
That Nat bribes or blackmails.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Now we're in our French farce.
I've never been in a French farce before. It's very funny.
It really is. He's a little too chill about this whole thing, though.
Yeah.
About
Jeff
finding them.
Adam makes no sense.
Yeah, he's a little too, like, this is funny. And I'm like, is it? Like,
right.
Is it?
Sure. Because it's, yeah.
Because her husband just got home. And he could, like, beat the shit out of you. Or, you know, or you could ruin this woman's life. Like. Right.
That's what I mean. Everything about him is suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. He hides in the closet. She gets back in bed.
Everything about Jeff is suspicious.
Like, so he's just getting back from the store. And we know, of course, he's getting back from this whole thing. Although I did have a moment where I was like, okay, so he runs away with the money. There's like many, many hours that pass. Enough for them to hang out in the car and talk, them to get home, her to bring Adam inside, them to have sex, and then fall asleep. This is so unimportant. But, like, what did Jeff do during that time? Did he go back to the store? Did he hide the money? Like,
I think he probably knew that it would be more suspicious to come home in the middle of the night than to say, you know, like.
Yeah. He probably went back to the store and, like, hid the money somewhere.
Also, whose car did he have? Randy's? So he probably had to, like, coordinate. How does she think he got, if she had the van?
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know how he got, maybe Uber. They talk about Uber a lot in this show. Yeah.
He must have. She must think he Ubered, but he must have Randy's car is my guess. Because we know Randy's in on it, right?
Yes. Yes. Because Randy knows. Well, I don't know if he's in on it, but he knows about
it. He knows about it.
Yeah. When Jeff asks Shauna how her night was, she says, it was boring. Callie slept at Alana's. I made some soup.
I made myself some soup.
Yeah.
It's my kind of Friday night.
Yes. Yeah. And then our last scene. I know.
I hate it.
I know. I hate it too. Because it's like we have a hot minute where we think maybe Nat and Kevin can like have something. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is not toxic. And then she just like, nope.
And it's really nice to see somebody competent in a TV show because people so rarely are, though.
Yes.
Like, of course he knows his gun was fired. Mm-hmm. Like, and the way that for his sake, again, I love Nat, but for his sake, the way he's like, she lies to him and he looks like for a second like he's gonna not believe it but let her lie.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, I don't believe you. I was like, huh, it's so refreshing to see somebody do that.
Like, yeah, have like a realistic take on things. Like he has, like we said before, he has an ex-wife, he has a child, he has a job, he like is kind of a rule follower. Yeah, she says that she sat in a park and it accidentally went off, but yeah, she tells him he's pathetic.
I know. You can see on her face that she hates doing it, but
yeah.
This is the scene I was talking about at the beginning of our episode. She's so good here, Juliette Lewis. It is like you can tell how hard it is for her to do it, but she feels like she has to.
Yeah. It's so sad because like every time we think maybe Nat has a shot, at getting her shit together. Mm-hmm. It's taken away again.
You know what's really sad? Now they're both dead.
They are.
And he's got a kid.
That is sad. Yeah. And he didn't really do anything to earn this.
I mean, ACAB, but other than that, he did nothing wrong. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, he just wanted to help Nat. And then he, like an adult, realized when things were too far mm-hmm. gone for him to be involved with his responsibilities, and mm-hmm. walked away.
Right.
Like, we see him at the end of episode 10 with, like, a new girl. Because he's like, this is too much for me. I can't do this.
How does he end up? It doesn't matter now. Well, we won't get there. We have already gotten there.
Yeah.
I forget how he ends up at Lottie's.
He ends up there because
does he follow Walter? Shauna?
Walter gives a tip.
That's right.
Remember?
That's right.
Walter sets it up.
That's right.
Yeah. Our
what a show.
Our little mastermind behind the scenes.
Wait, what's his? Hold on, his handle.
Handle. Oh,
putting
my God,
the
I
sick
didn't
in forensics.
That's right. Ugh, Walter.
Little lunatic.
Yeah.
And just to remind everybody, once we get to the end of season one, we're gonna pick right back up at season
two. No, we're not.
We'll move right through all those episodes and swing right back around to season one. And we're just gonna keep doing that until we get to 2025. So we'll get back to Walter eventually.
And then I will be the one in a Swiss mental hospital.
Finger painting in a Swiss mental hospital.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely.
Finger painting, I couldn't. I was too
actually
much of a...
that sounds like a textural nightmare.
Exactly.
But you know.
I could not get my hands dirty when I was a kid. I could not get paint on my hands. Okay. That's episode 7.
Yeah.
Next week, Flight of the Bumblebee. After a vicious attack, the girls suss out the best of their worst ideas.
I think it is time to buckle.
Buckle the fuck up.
As they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Oh my God. So I pulled up the Reddit thread on the episode, next episode, just to find the synopsis. And one of the first comments was texting my friends now to tell them that if I get bit by a wolf in the woods, to check if I'm alive before throwing me in a fire.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. So, I mean, we know now, obviously, that when we get back to the next episode, Van is not, in fact, dead. She is alive with a gaping hole in her face.
It's really bad.
Yeah. It's wild.
Though, she was just attacked by wolves, so anything that isn't death is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's lucky the rest of her insides are still inside.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But yeah, we are in the back half. There's so much that is still to come, though.
Totally.
It's crazy how much is going to happen in the next three,
which is I think why people, I think us included, maybe sometimes got, or maybe not, I don't know, I don't remember how I felt, but about those episodes in season two that people complained were slower, and as we've said, you know, in our season one rewatch now, this show does take moments to slow down, and it has since the beginning. But coming on the heels of these last three episodes of season one, where it is like breakneck to the end, I can see why we all felt like season one was so fast moving and intense.
Yeah, especially because the last half of it, or the last three or
That's
four episodes,
I mean.
Are so nuts. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. I was just looking ahead to what's coming. Oh,
what
my
is,
goodness.
What is next week's episode called? Did you already say?
Yeah, Flight of the Bumblebee. Yeah. It's going to be a little tough to watch Nat in the next few episodes, I think.
I know. Yes.
Because she is sort of like, there's that really rough scene coming up where she is basically almost overdosing. Or that Misty's comic relief breaks up, where she comes in and tries to snort all of cocaine.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, she is already in a low place and gets lower. It is really sad.
Yeah. Just a quick little side note. I think I texted you about this. I ended up being fed some crime FBI story on Netflix called The Night Agent. And if our listeners are looking for more of our favorite actors while we are on a break.
Yes.
It came out last year, I guess. I'm sure people have probably seen it already. I don't know. I watch a lot of like sort of British crime dramas on Netflix. And this one was fed to me, and I opened it thinking it was a British crime drama, and it's not. It's American, which is slightly less fun. But anyway, point being that Simone Kessel has a brief role, and Sarah Desjardins, our Callie, has a very significant role throughout most of the first season, and has a sort of pivotal place in the plot, which is a lot of things to say, but. But yeah, it's fun seeing her in a slightly different role. She still plays sort of a, we think, an annoying teenager, but in the end, she ends up sort of helping save the day, which is all I will say. So
I love that.
Yeah, it's not an amazing show. It's very pulpy and very over-the-top FBI thing. But
sometimes that's what you're in the mood for, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. Sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
So
cool. I love that. Yeah. I have nothing to recommend.
Well, I guess that's it.
I think that's it.
We'll end with a whimper.
Find us at WatchersPodNJ on Instagram, WatchersPodNJ at Gmail. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I'm at AQ Andrea Q on the places.
On the places. And I am Jodi_Mim, JODIE_MIM on Instagram. And come find us. Maybe leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. A nice little review on Apple Podcasts. Be happy to share it on the show.
Yeah. We will see you in the woods.
In the woods.
On fire.